I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now, this is the seventh installment of the Joy of the Gospel, our Pope's Apostolic Exhortation. And as a reminder, we're studying this as a community. So as a community, you should have this book in your possession and be reading it and following along and highlighting and praying about it. Now, last week, Gretchen began talking about chapter 4, which is entitled The Social Dimension of Evangelization. And there's a couple of points that she made that I want to start out with. Number one, happiness or joy in this world is for everyone. For everyone. Number two, if we believe that the Holy Spirit is at work in this world, we have to realize that He seeks to penetrate every human situation and all social relationships. Everything. All. Pope Francis makes the point, you know, that the gospel and the joy of the gospel isn't merely about our own personal relationship with God. It's also about the kingdom of God, about transforming this world into a place where the King reigns in all areas and with all people. An authentic faith always involves a deep desire to change the world, to transmit values, to leave this earth somehow better than we found it. We love this magnificent planet on which God has put us, and we love the human family which dwells here with all of its tragedies and struggles, its hopes and aspirations, its strengths and its weaknesses. The earth is our common home, and all of us are brothers and sisters. Well, now, I can accept this encouragement. I can even embrace it. I love that particular section from The Joy of the Gospel. Problem is, I don't have a clue as to how to accomplish it. Does anyone here have a plan that ensures that no one has to stand in our intersections holding homeless signs and asking for donations? Does anyone here have a plan that addresses the full problem of immigration? Well, of course not. The world is full of big, hairy problems that we don't have solutions for. Now, this should not be viewed as a shortcoming in our faith. Pope Francis admits that the church doesn't have the programs needed to solve many of the problems that are evident in this world. Instead, she supports those programs which best respond to the dignity of each person and the common good. The Lord Himself, during His earthly life, often warned His disciples that there were things that they could not yet understand and for which they would have to await the Holy Spirit. And that's particularly evident in John 16, 12 through 13. And if the apostles didn't know it all then, do we think we're any different? Do we now know it all because we live in 2016? No, we don't know it all. We're dependent upon the Holy Spirit to guide us in all things. And don't forget, there's a parable that all of you remember and all of you know of the weeds and the wheat from Matthew 13, 24 through 30. The landowner waited until the harvest to separate the wheat and the weeds. So now, given this situation, that we really don't have the answers to all the questions, does that mean that we have nothing to say about these issues going on around us? Of course not. We have Christ. We have His love. We have His Holy Spirit. He created it all. He has all of the answers. Perhaps He hasn't provided those answers, because, as He says in John 16, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it. Well, given this situation, Pope Francis provides us a bit of a roadmap in this chapter to help us engage in evangelization for all these thorny problems and to move towards peace rather than away from it, and to make progress while avoiding isolation or exclusion. He gives us some perspectives to keep in mind as we try to shine the light of Christ into these very, very difficult areas of darkness. Now, the first perspective that he gives us is that time is greater than space. Time is greater than space. This principle enables us to work slowly but surely. If we don't have to have the full answer, but we can make progress. Now, a great example of this might be the poverty problem that I mentioned earlier. We know that we must give preferential love to the poor. Gretchen talked last week about the problems of poverty in her summary, and she talked about the tuition assistance that the school does for students who don't have the resources to come to school. Brenda Lenzen talked in her sharing about introducing herself to a homeless person and asking their name. Someone else gave a witness, you know, from this podium during one of our gatherings that talked about just talking directly to a homeless person, looking them in the eye, and the dignity that that person experienced from that encounter, and they shared about what a difference that it made in their life. Well, did any of these actions solve poverty? Well, no, of course not. But each of these actions shined the light of Christ into the problem of poverty. They penetrated the darkness. Christ doesn't call us to fix all the problems. He calls us to understand his heart and to begin, to initiate an action, to start a new process, to actually do something. If sufficient small candles are lit, his light will overcome the darkness. Time is greater than space. The second perspective that the Pope gives us is that unity prevails over conflict. Unity prevails over conflict. Now, conflict cannot be ignored or concealed. It has to be faced. But when we face conflict, we can identify and we can focus on areas of unity, areas where we agree. Remember, blessed be the peacemakers. Now, I can't help but think of an issue that's most offensive to most people in this room, or to the majority of the people in this room, and that's the recent court decisions and the movement in this country towards the acceptance of homosexuality as normal and legitimate. Should we avoid people who advocate these views because they offend us? Should we say nothing because we know that it's just going to start an argument, you know, that we can't win? Well, of course not. Christ calls us to shine his light into every situation. In my employment at Southwest Airlines, I have ample opportunities to know and to work with, you know, people who have same-sex attractions. Rather than fight with them about the issue of gay rights, I look for ways to cooperate with them in other areas, to find unity instead of conflict. I try to know their names and to smile and ask about them when the opportunity arises. I try to give them, I try to be interested in their careers, and I try to give them credit when credit is due. I've politely declined to attend any same-sex unions, but I haven't made my position a big issue in it. I haven't made a big deal about it. Rather, I look for an opportunity, for every opportunity to find unity and to focus on these things. And by doing that, my experience is that they like me and they have a relationship with me. And they know my stance, they know what I believe, and they don't actively try to engage in that conflict with me either. I find that in our conversations, little opportunities arise to witness in some way, just to talk about what God is doing in my life. And at the very least, this gives them a positive image of a Christian, and who knows where that'll lead. Unity prevails over conflict. The third perspective that Pope Francis gives us is that realities are more important than ideas. Realities are more important than ideas. This encouragement makes me think of the abortion problem in this country. Now, it's great to embrace the idea that abortion should be illegal. That's a wonderful idea, and I support that wholeheartedly. But the reality of unintended pregnancies, of unwanted children, of women who are abused, the reality of poverty that becomes systemic, and all the other ugly realities that encourage people to believe that abortion is a solution in the first place need to be addressed. And that's why I'm so proud of the work of many members of this community with the creation of the CPLC, who don't merely beat the drum over the idea that abortion needs to be illegal, but people who work hard to solve the underlying ugly realities of this issue, the ugly realities that encourage women to seek an abortion in the first place. And when we have large, ugly issues that we don't know how to solve, maybe one of the first things that we should do is to look at the realities instead of just concentrate on the big idea. Finally, the Pope encourages us to see that the whole is greater than the parts. The whole is greater than the parts. The world in front of us is very important, but we have to constantly broaden our horizons and see the greater good that will benefit us all. And when I think of this perspective, I think of immigration, which is a very live issue in this political season. Yes, the threat of terrorism is very real, and we absolutely can't financially support everyone who might pour across our borders. But there are real people who are impoverished and who need to find ways to support their families. There are refugees who will die if they remain at home. Just because, you know, Dallas, Texas is kind of a nice, neat, and tidy city, or just because the issue isn't really personal, you know, to me individually, doesn't mean that we don't have to address it and that, you know, we can't find ways to somehow impact the larger problem. In our dialogue, when we're talking about it with friends, perhaps the best way to evangelize is not to take hard stands for or against something, but to ask questions about them, to understand the very big issue. And if we do that, perhaps we might compare that to Christ's desire, to his heart and his love, and that might lead to better understanding and empathy. And it might help us find those small little solutions that lead to big solutions. So when we're able to embrace these four perspectives, that time is greater than space, that unity prevails over conflict, that realities are more important than ideas, and that the whole is greater than the parts, well, then we're ready to make ourselves available to a whole new level of evangelization at very deep levels. The old adage that you should never talk to anyone about politics or religion will fall at your feet. Because rather than encouraging us to avoid politics and religion, our Pope is encouraging us to engage on exactly those fronts. He asks us to find ways to evangelize with states, with society, and with believers who are not a part of the Catholic faith. And by utilizing these perspectives, we can equally engage scientists, we can engage academia on some of the big ideas that they're having, we can confidently address politicians, we can confidently debate these things with our neighbors around us, and we can find how best to address the problems which face us, those programs that give dignity to the human person and it make a little bit different. We can build bridges with Protestants. We can build bridges with our older brothers and sisters in the Jewish faith, and we can even engage Islam and anybody who is trying to seek the truth. And being able to confidently talk about Christ in every situation would make me very joyful indeed.